1 John chapter 3, verse 14 through 19.
Amen.
Amen. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and see if his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Yes.
And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for reminding us and continue reminding us that we as believers have passed from death to life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We are of that group, Father God, that are new creations, Father God. But there's a way of life that comes with that. Someone said, in all that you eat, drink and do to the glory of God.
Yes.
Father God, give us the grace to glorify you in what we do and say. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So pick it up from last week. And I said last week, one of the most important lessons, sermons that I've taught. And my, how many years I've been here? 12? Something like that. 10, 11, 12. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How do you know something? How do you know something? And that word "know" is intimate. That we know because it has impacted the way we live and the way we do things. And I had more illustrations from last week, but let me just share two. And I'm going to move on to the second part of that verse. But I have two people. Here's Matthew. Here's Matthew. He's an apostle. And what I want to illustrate is, here's Matthew passing from death to life. We ought to know something about this.
Amen.
If you're a child of God, you're a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, Christian, I remember me being there. Here's Matthew. Jesus had just healed the man, lowered him through the roof. He couldn't get in through the, they couldn't get through the door. They couldn't get through the windows. They climbed up on the roof, lowered the man down through the roof, broke a hole in the roof, laid before Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. Obviously, most likely taxed the people coming through, because everybody that passed Matthew got taxed. He was a tax collector. But when they was coming back, the man wasn't on the cot no more. He was walking. Matthew's seen all these things, and watch what happened. Here's Luke 5:27. And after these things went forth, and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. Watch this. And he said unto him, "Follow me." Now this is recorded in all the Gospels. Matthew says he rose up and did what? Left everything. Left everything. Now look at that verse again. See if something jumps out at you. Here's Matthew. And Jesus called him Levi. That's interesting. What's Levi short for? Okay? Levite. Okay? One of the favorite of all the priests of that day, the Levites, were the ones that stood with Moses. Okay? A Levite's job as a Levite was to spend his entire life working in the temple. That was the call of the Levite. The Levite was to be cared for by the temple. He wasn't supposed to have no job or nothing. His job was to work in the temple. Now it opens up the picture again. Let me read it again with you, with that knowledge of who Levi was and what he was supposed to be doing. But let me share this. A publican was a tax collector, the most hated people of that time, because a publican, if the man working, the publican worked for, say, if you work for me, and I was a chief tax collector, I say, look, I need $50 from everybody to go by, but you can charge them whatever you want. Long as I get 50, you can charge them 150. You can charge them 200. Long as I get 50. Sounds like the dope boys, right? I sell you a block. You tell me, oh, look, here's a block. Give me 800. You make whatever you want off of it. That's how I go. See, them kids taught me all kinds of stuff when I was working in prison. I didn't know what a block was. I'm like, what's a block? Tax collectors wasn't supposed to be Levites. And Levites wasn't supposed to be tax collectors. Now with that in mind, watch the verse. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And at that time, Levi passed from death to life.
Amen.
His life was never the same. Okay? His life was never the same. One more story. Another publican named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a Jewish name. See, Jews weren't supposed to be publicans because they was taxing their own people. They were working for the enemy. Okay? So Luke 19:1. Watch this. Luke 19:1. I'm going to have to give you all 10 verses, so stay with me. Now Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Meaning, he taxed the heck out of his own people to get rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now, most likely he wanted to see Jesus because publicans were getting saved. And he was like, if you saving publicans, I need to see who this is, because he knew how wicked a publican was. So if a publican, I'm almost like a Republican, but a tax collector getting saved was nearly impossible. So Zacchaeus was the chief publican. He was losing workers. So he wanted to see who Jesus was. So he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Meaning the crowd. It was too crowded. Too many people was coming to see Jesus. He looked like a caravan, you know, and people coming in, they want to see Jesus. He couldn't see him because he was small of stature, but he was desperate. Watch what happened. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Watch this, you know, it gets interesting. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Something miraculous going on here, because he never met Zacchaeus. And he calls Zacchaeus by his name. Probably nobody calls Zacchaeus that. He probably got called everything but Zacchaeus. Okay? So Jesus called Zacchaeus, and probably, well, who is this? How did you know my name? And he said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must what? Abide in thy house. Now this is where it gets interesting. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Joyfully. He was happy. See, you see, some folks be so deep in sin, they be happy to get cut loose.
Amen.
They just wait for somebody to deliver. This is what I was talking to, when I was talking to Sylvia's sister today. Listen, don't, let's keep on spreading the good news. Because you don't know who you talking to. You don't know who needs to hear it. Okay? Watch this now. And when he saw it, and when they saw it, these are the people. They hated Zacchaeus, but they didn't want him to get saved. They didn't want him around Jesus. Folk like that. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, is he going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner? Now, obviously, Jesus explained to Zacchaeus what he came to this earth to do. Because Zacchaeus did something in verse number 8 that we all need to do and we all have to do. Fess up. He fessed up. Anybody watch the trial where the officer had his knee on the man's neck? For how long? 9 minutes? Something like that. It was a ridiculous amount of time. And if you're trained in law enforcement, police work, you know you ain't supposed to do that. That's just uncalled for. With camera on you, the cameras changed the whole game. We was talking about that last night. When they put the cameras in the prison, you know, it was over with. You know? No more chokeholds and all that kind of stuff. Not that we did that. Steve did some stuff like that, but I didn't. So what would Zacchaeus do? Now, what's Zacchaeus? Now, remember the officer? Remember the officer? Does anybody remember the officer had a knee on the man's neck? Ever saying, ever showing any remorse? Ever saying I was wrong? Ever saying I was sorry? Never even saying my emotions got the best of me? If I had to do it over again, I'll never do that again. He never did anything. He wouldn't even testify on his own behalf. He showed no remorse. Okay? Watch that kid. That kid put his work in. Watch that kid. But he knew he was wrong.
Amen.
See, there's going to come a time when this officer, he's going to fess up. He's going to fess up. So the Bible says what? You said it this morning. Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. Zacchaeus knew he was in the presence of God. Watch what Zacchaeus does. Because he's passing from death to life. And Zacchaeus stood. And back in those days, they put a knife under your chin when you was in the courtroom. Just so you couldn't look down. Because if you look down, you die. So you had to look up. And they would put a spear under your neck when you, in the ancient days, made you look up to the judge. And if you looked, if you was guilty, you die. Because as soon as you know how you do when somebody lying? Gone. So you sit up there and look at the judge eye to eye. Zacchaeus stood. I like this.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus stood and fessed up. Yeah. See, there's no Christianity without repentance. Alright? Forget that. Don't let nobody, preachers don't even like talking about repentance because they're going to run people out of the church. You know, you can't be living like that and talking about you a Christian. See? No, folks don't want to hear that. I want y'all to come back next week and I'm not gonna offend you with repentance. I'm gonna offend you with repentance because I'm not really concerned whether you come back or not. Okay? And I want you to come back repentant if you come back. I mean, don't come back still in the same mess. Okay? Zacchaeus stood. Yes, Your Honor. And said unto the Lord, behold, I'm wrong. I stand accused. Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He didn't have to do that. The law didn't require him to do that. The law required him to, I believe, give like 1/4 of what he took. Half of my goods I give to the poor. Now watch this. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restored him fourfold. He basically gave up everything he had. So that would have been a Republican. A publican. I keep saying Republican. Maybe I'm on to something. A publican. Okay? And Jesus said unto him. Watch this now. First of all, I don't know if anybody else was in the house. Even if the house was crowded, Jesus said this to him. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. That's good stuff. Verse 15. No. Second half of verse 14. I may not get as far as I want to go today, but prayerfully and thankfully, maybe God will give us another Sunday.
Amen.
And we know we have passed from death unto life. Verse 14, 1 John 3:14. Why? Why, John? How can we know for sure? And that's all John's book is about. The whole gospel of 1 John is about making sure that you know that you are a child of God. That's it. And we've been on it for 35 weeks, 40 weeks. Okay. I might have 40 more. Lord willing.
Amen.
But it's an important subject because you need to know. You're sitting here looking crazy like, get to heaven and don't know. You're like, I hope I go to heaven. No, you can't hope you're going to heaven.
That's right. Better know.
Hope I go to heaven. Here's how we know. Because we love the brethren. I ain't easy to love. I'm not. I thank God for my wife.
Amen.
I know I got one person in Amaya. Krina. She love me though. She do anything I ask her to do. Here's how we know that we pass from death to life. Here's how we know we're saved. Because we love the brethren. I love y'all.
Amen.
I love you all. Love being out here. We had such a good time in Sunday school this morning. Wednesday nights is off the charts. We just have a good time. You know, just a few of us. We can make it if we try, just a few of us. Does that have a song go? No, it don't. It's just the two of us. But we have a good time. Know why we have a good time? Seriously, know the root cause of why we have a good time on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night? Because we love one another.
Amen.
Dude, don't we just light up? You know, Margaret, we watching the watch. She always late. But when we see her come in, it just... Sylvia come in late. We know she working. She came in late and just jumped right into the lesson. Just jump right into the lesson. And we just had a good time because we love each other.
Amen.
Okay? We love each other.
God is love.
God is love. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now that's just what the Word of God said. I don't even have to explain that. Okay? If you don't have a love for Christians, those folks that have been saved and filled with the Spirit like you, then you need to really examine yourself.
Amen.
You ought to have a love for each other. We ought to have a love for each other. Then you find out somebody else is real, and they love the Lord like you do, you ought to love them too.
Amen. Okay?
Why did I say that? Jeremy said that God is love. Okay? God is love. Listen, whosoever, this is where it gets interesting. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Now he talked about Cain in verse number 12. Cain and Abel came to the Lord with the offering. God told Cain, look, you got the wrong stuff, bro. This is not a grain offering. This is a love. This is a sin offering. You need to sacrifice blood, not wheat and apples and oranges. Okay? Do like your brother Abel and bring a lamb. Bring some blood. Only the blood going to cover your sin. Cain said, I don't need no blood to cover my sin. You take this or I ain't bringing you nothing. He's talking to God. He's a bad boy. Not only was it first murder, he's first thug. He was first thug. That's what he was, wasn't he? Then he got so mad at God. God said, listen, go do the right thing. Come back with the blood offering. And we'll be all right. That's all he had to do. He said, if you don't do that, sin lies at the door. Sin going to make you do something you don't want you to do.
Amen.
What's our saying? Sin will always take you further than you plan on going. Keep you here longer than you plan on staying and cost you more than you plan on spending. Okay? Be careful with sin.
Amen.
And there's a line at the door. You better, I don't know what you need to do, but you better get it off your door. Okay? But he didn't. He didn't. He said, I'm not caring about God. Ain't this how the world we live in? I don't care what that Bible says. I don't care about God. I don't care about them preachers. They ain't no good. And church Christians, all hypocrites.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then he got to the point because sin was right at the door and sin said to Cain, if he won't blood, give him angel's blood. See, that's how sin do. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, your God won't, if that God you serving won't blood, give him angel's blood. Then he slit Abel's throat. And God said, where's Abel? And he got slick with God again. See, he got a fly. He had a fly mouth. He said, am I my brother's keeper?
My Lord.
Ain't that something? Am I my brother's keeper? He said, Abel preaching from the ground. He said, his blood is crying out from the, from the earth.
Yeah.
Listen. Now I had struggles with this. And because I love y'all. See, and because I love y'all. I be on the up and up. So I can easily be confident and tell you, you know, I don't hate nobody. You know, I can say I just love everybody. Just love everybody. Smiling. I don't love everybody. All right. I don't love everybody. But you know what I got? I got an HGEA. Y'all know what the HGEA is? Y'all don't, because I just made it up. It's a Holy Ghost escrow account. It's a Holy Ghost escrow account. You know what escrow account is? I'm going to give you the dictionary definition of an escrow account. An escrow account is an account where you place money in. Okay? So I'm putting this money in this account, and hopefully these two parties can work it out. And if they work it out, they get the money out of the escrow. That makes sense? That's close to like. Let me give you the definition. An escrow account is an account where funds are held in trust while two or more parties complete the transaction where they try to work out the details, the fine lines. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Because some of y'all know me. And I wasn't happy a couple years ago with what happened at the church. And some of y'all might say, well, you know, I know you don't care for them folks. I've turned that over to my escrow account. I put all that into the escrow account, okay? I'm not carrying that around. I'm not carrying it around. You know, and I used to. I wonder how much they got. Why would somebody do that? All the time, that work on your mind. I said, you know what? I need to put that in escrow account.
Yeah.
So I opened up me a Holy Ghost escrow account, and I put all that in there. And what the Holy Ghost escrow account does, here's what it does, Marley. Okay? So I'm going to have to open one up for you.
Oh.
We're going to put some stuff in our escrow account, so we don't have to worry about that stuff, see? So here's how you deal with the Holy Ghost escrow account. So, on any given Sunday or Wednesday, say them folks decide they want to come in church. Full of repentance. Okay? See, some people would say, fake Christians. Just let it go. Don't worry about it. Just let it go. Just forgive them and move on. Let me help y'all. Biblically, you cannot forgive someone who has not repented.
Amen.
Am I making sense for you?
Amen.
See, I like when you come to church because you're just there. Because this makes sense. And you, but you can't forgive somebody who hasn't repented. Okay? So somebody come back and I'm back. Same old mess. I done robbed your house. Stole your car. Drank all your food. Ate all your food up. And ain't no repent, no remorse. No contrite spirit. Let me give you a story. Let me give you a story of what repentance looks like. Okay? Bible story. I'm not making up nothing. Because I don't want y'all to say he's making up stuff. Okay? You know, I told the story last week, the two sons. And the young one went out to the far country and wasted everything. Wasted everything. Drinking, getting high, chasing prostitutes. That's what the other brother said. He was doing everything. Okay? But the Bible says he came to his senses. He realized the error of his ways. Okay? And in Luke 15, 20, watch this. And he arose and came to his father. Now his father had a Holy Ghost escrow account. Okay? But his father wasn't doing nothing until that son came home a certain way. When is coming home? So you just can't come home. Okay? You know, some people say, oh, you just come home, anyway, on a kind of way, come home, and right back to the same stuff. He said he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. His father knew his son. He knew his son. As I say, go. Drop the pail. Jump the rail. And hit the trail. Amen. He was done with that lifestyle. He was done with that lifestyle. He was not going to disrespect his father and come home the same way. Matter of fact, watch what he says. Watch what he says in verse 21. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's repentance. That's brokenness. That's a contrite heart. That's a person who has been changed. But the father said unto the servants, I already know. He said, bring forth a robe. No. He said, bring forth the best robe. Yeah, he had it waiting for his son. He had it in an escrow account. Okay? He said, go to the escrow account and bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And while you're getting the robe, put the ring on his hand and then get the best shoes. He had all that waiting. Then he had this fatted calf. He'd been sitting there feeding that calf every day. That calf might have been a beauty. Probably take it out to the camp, field fair, and win all the awards. Okay? And he said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Now watch what he says. Watch what the father says. This is key to the whole story. And I missed it for years. He said, for this my son was dead. How about that? Spiritually dead. No concerns for the things of God. No concern for God. No concern for the church. No concern for nothing. He was spiritually dead. And he said, and is alive again. A pass from death to life. Watch this though. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They began to be merry. Just open your escrow account. Some of us got some stuff. You got people that you see that you still got to beef with. I ain't mad at her, but I don't still say nothing to her no more. You ever heard people say stuff like that? I'm done with it. I forgave her, but I just don't have nothing to do with her no more. See? That's still working on you. Still working on you. Put it in escrow account.
Amen.
Okay? You pray about that. Pray for your escrow account. Hey, God, work with these people's hearts. But there wouldn't be a greater day in my life if folks would come back to the church and say, you know what? I watched your sermon on video. Heard what you said. You make plenty of sense. We was wrong. What we did was wrong. We want to ask you to forgive us and let us come back to church. Wouldn't that be beautiful? You know what I do? You know what I do, Marty? Go to my escrow account. Bring out that. Bring out the forgiveness. I call Jesus up. Y'all say, no, this, my God works on Sundays. If it's, you know, he never take a day off, so he won't be there. I say, Lord, bring the forgiveness. Cover him with forgiveness. And we just move on for now.
Amen.
But without repentance, this is impossible. Let me give you another verse. 2 Corinthians 7 and 9. He said, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, watch this, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. And nothing. Let me give you another story of repentance. A great story. Y'all know it. See, I love these stories because y'all know them so well. I don't have to go through the whole thing, but I have it. I have it. I'm not going to read the whole story of David and Nathan's encounter because you know it. David took the man's wife. Nathan called him out. Say, man, you got 1,000. He had 1. You took her and said 1. And David's like, he didn't know he was talking about him. And David's like, whoever done this thing, he need his head cut off. And Nathan said, you the man. And watch what David says. Watch what David says. And David says, this is 2 Samuel 12, 13. And David said unto Nathan, after Nathan called him out, told him what God was going to do, how he was going to be punished, what he was going to go through. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Watch this. Watch this. Watch what. Now remember, Nathan's a prophet. He's a prophet, a real prophet. Okay? Not a prophet from Camel. Okay? Or Struthers or Akron or something. He's a real prophet. And David, and Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. That's a great story. That's a great story. I hope to help somebody because it helped me. So I always thinking. Why would God say, you know, preach all the way through 1 John? I'm in chapter 3. And I'm learning more and more about me. And I hope you guys are being blessed by the lessons. Let me give you three lessons from God has taught. Don't be eating poison hoping your enemies will die. Let me say that again. See, that's what worrying does. When you're worrying about somebody and hating on somebody, they ain't thinking about you. They could care less. They're going on about their life and stress is eating you up because you're still hot under the collar. You mad. And it's like eating poison hoping your enemies will die. Okay? Set up a Holy Ghost escrow account. Place your forgiveness in and move on. Move on. And if that person ever come around and say, you know what? Sorry for what I did. I was wrong. You know, I'm a different man. You know what? God has blessed me with the ability and with the gift of repentance. And I'm a changed man. Then you can say, hey, I forgive you. Okay? Last one. And when the prodigal returns, how about that? When the prodigal returns, broken, contrite, repentant, remorseful, regretful, penitent, ashamed, release the forgiveness. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Let him go. Let him go. One more verse. I'm gonna close. One more verse. This might be a long one, but it's worth it. Verse 16. Verse 16 of 1 John chapter 3. I'm covering 3 verses today. How about that? This is huge. This is a monumental day. John wants you to know the love of God. Watch this. Hereby perceive we the love of God. What does that word perceive mean? I don't like to move on and I don't like to be condescending. But the word perceive means to understand. To comprehend. To not ignore this. Hereby perceive we the love of God. We got to know the love of God. If you call ourselves Christian, we got to know the love of God. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But if we don't know the love of God, we can't understand John 3:16.
Amen.
Got to understand the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave everything. Think about it. Think about it. I got a Maya there. What if Krina came home and they said, well, you know, Dad, I'm going to sacrifice Maya for the world. Lord have mercy. And you know what I'd say? I ain't starting the world. I ain't starting the world. Let the world go on. Which one of your children you sacrifice, Jake? You probably don't say nothing. You understand? He's Jake. Jake, I know. Y'all know Jake loves them babies now. He got a dry sense of humor like me, but y'all know he ain't sacrificing none of them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Here's the love of God. I'm just gonna give you a few verses. Romans 5:8, we know these verses. We covered this in the last month Bible study, Sunday school. Listen, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. He had died for us. We were still sinning. How about that? And he commended his love toward us. No man come to the Father. Left he's what? Drawn. Okay? If you here today and if you love the Lord and you've passed from death to life, you ain't got nothing to boast about. You ain't got nothing to brag about. You ain't sit around, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, you know. I got born again. You ain't got nothing to do with it. Thank God for giving you the faith to believe. Thank God for giving you the grace that you didn't die before you start believing.
Amen.
Here's Peter. See, the Word of God, all of them say the same thing. All these apostles, the Bible, what did we say this morning, 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. It's not man writing this. One thing you won't hear Peter, Paul, you won't hear none of them boasting about how tough they were, how good they were. They thank God for everything. Okay? Here's Peter, 1 Peter 1:18. Fascinating verse. 1:18 and 19. Watch it. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. That would be traditional faith. That's religion. Peter, you want to say religion don't save you. Talk to a Muslim and ask them, are you saved? They don't know nothing about being saved. Muslims don't get saved. Mormons don't get saved. Catholics don't get saved. You talk to a Catholic, are you born again? No, I was sprinkled at birth. When I was born, you know, the priest sprinkled me. And all the original sin washed away. How'd that sound? A lot of Catholics in prison. The sprinkle that didn't work for you. Watch this. Verse 18. Here's how you saved. Not by the traditions from your father. Watch this now. But with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. What did Pilate say? Mm-hmm. I ain't find a spot on him. I find no fault in this man. Wonder if he'd have found one. Wonder if Pilate could have came up with one charge against Jesus that would have stood.
Would have been a lie.
I like that. It would have been a lie. It would have been a lie. Here's Paul again. Ephesians 5:2. Watch this thing. Think about it. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the love of God. Okay? Ephesians 5:2. And he says this. And walk in love. And walk in love, how? As Christ also have loved us. Some of y'all was unlovable.
Amen.
Let me retract that for a minute. Some of us. Amen. Some of us were unlovable. Amen. Okay?
Amen.
So Paul says walk in love because Paul knew himself. He was unlovable. Mm-hmm. He was a chief sinner. And walk in love as Christ also have loved us. How much did he love us? And have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. How about that?
Amen.
God loved us so much that he sacrificed his only begotten son so that we could be saved.
Amen.
So we could be saved. Last one. 1 John 4:9. Here we go. We'll get to this in more detail in a couple of months. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world. Why? As Christians, we need to know. Somebody may ask you, Justin, why did God send his only begotten son into the world? You've got to have an answer. You got to be able to pass that. You got to be able to answer that question. Why did God send his only begotten son into the world? Watch this. Here's why. That we might live through him. What's the opposite of living through him? It's only one other person to live through. We want to live through Christ. Now he says this, and wraps up in verse number 10. I'm going to close. Herein is love. You really want to know. Herein is love. And my mother said, I love you, Mommy. Personally, I'm sick of all the holidays.
Amen.
We never get ready for the next one. Fatherless Day.
Uh-oh.
Now we get ready for the next one. Then after Father's Day, we got something coming up. Sweetest Day, something coming up. Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July. Then we go, we only deal with three.
Amen.
You can erase all the rest.
Amen.
Because I don't need a day to remember my mother and my father. A day don't go by. Does the day go by when you don't think about your mother? Krina, does the day go by when you don't think about your mother? No. You? Christine? You think about your mother all the time. Jake thinks about his mother all the time, but she calls him every day if he needs something.
Amen.
I love you, Jake. Herein is love. See, does the day go by when you don't think about your mother? No. See, this church made him think about his mother, because she went to one of them churches. They ain't had no drums, no organ. They didn't have all that stuff. That's why he liked coming here. Like, remind me of being home. Hearing all the crazy loud drums and stuff. Folks hopping all around like bunnies. They hop around your mother's church. They ain't do all that hopping around that mother's church. Your mother's church. Here is love. Not that we love God. We weren't born to love God.
Amen.
We were born in trespasses and sins. We were born in iniquity. We weren't born loving God. Don't let nobody tell you that my mother was a Christian and my father was a Christian. I was born a Christian. You were born a devil.
Amen.
And I don't care how sweet the babies look. I hear people come to work. Oh, look, we got the devil. I'm getting in trouble. All I gotta do is watch my little baby running around the house. I know she goes, if I go to a point in time, I don't need to be born again.
Amen.
She into everything.
Amen.
I'm getting ready to think her name is Stop. I'm gonna think her name is Stop. Amaya, stop. Watch. Y'all know, Jake, don't your kids don't need to be born again, ain't they?
Amen.
Okay? So don't even play with this stuff. I make light of it, but don't play with this stuff.
Amen.
Bible said, Jesus, God said to Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Amen.
Jesus didn't use the word must a whole lot. But when he says you need to be born again, you need to be born again. And if you ain't, okay, you better think about what I'm saying. Herein is love. Not that we love God,
amen,
but that he loved us. How much? And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Impossible. It's impossible to call yourself a Christian and not know the love of God. God loved us, and He died for us. And if your mother loves you, like Mother's Day in here, if your mother loved you, where did she get the love from? God. God. Know how I know that? Because God is love.
Amen.
So if anybody you love, you know, if you love anybody, thank God for giving you love to share with somebody. Think about that. That's deep.
Amen.
God bless y'all. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Precious Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for speaking to our church today. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for the inspiration that you put into the scriptures. Thank you for this church, Father God. Thank you for the joy and laughter and the sound biblical teaching that we get because of your word. Thank you for everybody that's here. And we pray for this church. We pray for every church where God's word is being declared. And we thank you in
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys.